I'll ask you to turn in God's Word, please, for our evening reading, Psalm 22. And we'll read the first 19 verses off this chapter, Psalm 22, commencing our reading at verse number 1 through to verse 19. Let's hear the Word of the Lord. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and I am not silent, but thou art holy. O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel, our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered, they trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighteth in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst take me, make me hope, when I was upon my mother's breasts. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near. For there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a raving and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. But be not far from me, O Lord. O my strength, haste thee to help me. Amen. We'll end our reading at verse 19. And we do trust the Lord will bless that reading that brings us even right into the sufferings of our Lord and our Savior. Let's turn in God's Word, please, to Romans chapter 8. I'll read a few verses from the end of this chapter, Romans chapter 8. And we will break into the chapter at verse 31, reading through to the end of God, this chapter. Let's hear the Word of God. Romans chapter 8, commencing our reading at verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, or persecution or famine, or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. And the Lord will bless the public reading of his own precious and inspired truth. Let's unite our hearts in prayer and seek God's blessing as we come to the preaching of the Word tonight. And may even a loved one here, may you be praying for them that your Savior will become their Savior too. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we bow humbly at thy footstool, and we thank thee for the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. We thank thee none shall separate us from it, whether things present or things to come. And Lord, I pray that thou would look upon me. And Lord, in my present situation, I thank thee that I am ever united to Christ. And I, because of Jesus Christ, have the love of God upon me. And I pray, O Father, that thou would cleanse me in the blood of thy dear Son, and fill me full of the Holy Ghost, and give me power as I preach the gospel. Make me a vessel in thine hand. Speak through the word, and speak to the hearts of all that are gathered. Speak, O Father, in resurrection power, to those who are dead in their trespasses and in sin. Single them out tonight. Bring their wandering thoughts into captivity. And I pray that thou would smite them to the very depths of their being, and give them the grace to run to Jesus Christ. We thank thee for a Savior who is both able and willing to save all that come unto God by him. Lord, answer prayer and glorify thy Son. Consider the Lamb that was slain. Exalt his precious and holy name. For we ask this in his name, and for his and thine everlasting glory. Amen. Now there is a day coming, men and women, that we all will stand in the courtroom of our great God. A day in which we will face the one with whom we have to do. It is a day for which all other days were made, as one man said. And all mankind will be present on that day. The day in which God will judge the world. The day in which he is appointed to judge the world by that man whom he hath ordained, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you this evening, sinner, to imagine yourself standing before the judgment bar of God. And let's just say that you are allowed to present a case to Almighty God. You're allowed to compile evidence and bring it forth before God why he should spare you from punishment and judgment that you deserve. You are your own barrister. You have time to present your case before the God of heaven as why he should spare you from the sentence of eternal death. And we are all gathered round watching you as you stand before the Ancient of Days and the one whose eyes are as a flame of fire. And there you are standing before him, giving an account of your life. You're answering before God. We're all watching to see if you will succeed. We're all sinners before you have failed. You've seen them stand and give an account. You've seen the angels come and bind them hand and foot. You've seen them as they've been thrown over the precipice into the bottomless pit. And you've heard as their screams rise up from the blackness of the darkness of the lake of fire. And now it's your turn. You're called to stand before the judgment bar. And hypothetically speaking, let's say that heaven falls silent for you. And all the angels are listening. And the small and great that are there gathered, all their ears are open to see what you will have to say and what case you will present before God as why God should spare you from everlasting destruction. The word spare or spared in the New Testament, it means to treat leniently or to forbear. And there are certain things that God, that are mentioned in the New Testament, that God did not spare. He did not overpass them in judgment. He did not mitigate judgment by going easy on them, by giving them a Bible, as we would say in a modern expression. But he executed his holy justice upon them with unflinching righteousness. God who cannot deny himself, and is true to all his perfections, did not spare these things that we will consider tonight. And so I want to ask you, sinner, why should God spare you when it comes to him executing his holy justice? Now we will consider the things that are mentioned. And we will note the blessings that they receive from Almighty God. And yet God did not spare them. And tonight I want to think about the things that God did not spare. The things that God did not spare. Well, let's consider the first thing that God did not spare. Turn in your Bible, please, to 2 Peter chapter 2. And let's think about the first thing that we read in the New Testament that God did not spare. 2 Peter chapter 2. And there we read that he spared not the angels that sinned. It tells us, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. God spared not the angels that sinned. In Jude verse 6, we are reminded there too, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the day of God's great judgment. Now, what blessings did these angels receive? What privileges did they have from Almighty God? And what did they experience? Well, these angels, they knew what it was to be in the presence of God. They are created beings. And they dwelt in the presence of the Almighty. And at one time they veiled their face and their feet before the God of heaven. There was a time in which they served and honored God. They also knew what it was to praise God. It is believed that the devil was an angel of higher rank. We're taught this in Ezekiel 28:13. He was called the anointed cherub. And scripture would suggest that there is rank of angels in heaven. We have the terms angel, cherubim, seraphim, and archangel. And some believe that Lucifer was the chief choir master in heaven. He was in charge of heaven's music under God. Though the devil and the angels that fell with him had these privileges, God did not spare them. Pride was in their heart. They kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, that holy, honorable, and happy condition. It wasn't enough for them, but they rose up in pride, and they wanted something more that God had given unto them. The devil, he wanted to be as God. There was an unwillingness to submit and bow before God, and therefore God did not spare them. Here were creatures, and they could look back to a time when they were holy, when they did serve the Lord, and when they did praise him. But what about you? Why should God spare you? You see, there never was a time that you can look back in your life and say, I was holy then. I served God then. I praised God then. You were born as a sinner, born as an unclean thing, born separated from God, born serving self and sin. And you are unlike these angels that God did not spare. Oh, these angels, they could have, if they were allowed to present the case, think about the time we served thee. Think about the time that we worshiped thy holy name and veiled our face and our feet. But you're not like them. You can't do that. You're a sinner and born separated from a mighty God. And if God spared not these angels, I ask you, why should God spare you? Come on. All heavens fall silent for you. And we're here to listen to your case, that why God should treat you any differently from these angels that sinned. Why should God make you the exception? They always say there is an exception to the rule, so we're standing listening for your case as you there are there as your own barrister before the judgment bar of God, and we're listening for you to come and present something conclusive to God as why he should spare you, why he should treat you differently from these angels who at one time praised God and worshiped God and served God and veiled themselves in the presence of a holy God and showed him respect and reverence and honor. And yet you can do none of that. And we're listening for your case of why God should spare you, of why God should go lenient on you and mitigate your judgment. God spared not the angels that sinned. But secondly, we read in verse 5 that he spared not the old world, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. This was the world that there was before the flood and the judgment that God brought upon the earth. We read in Genesis 6, verse 5, and the Lord saw, he sees, the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Sinner tonight, you might think you have some good thoughts, some moral thoughts, some upright thoughts, but look at God's evaluation of you as he looks upon you tonight. Every imagination of the thoughts, every single thought not sanctified by the blood of Christ is evil continually. God spared not the old world. And what privileges did the old world have? What blessings did they have from Almighty God that they despised and rejected? Well, they had a preacher. We read about that in verse 5. Noah was a preacher of righteousness, and Jesus Christ is the righteousness of God. And so Noah, by the Spirit, preached unto men and women of his day of a coming Messiah. He preached Christ to them. They not only had a preacher. What other blessing from God did they enjoy? Well, they benefited from God's patience. God was long-suffering towards them. Even in their sin and in their Christ rejection, God gave them space to repent. 120 years, Noah preached unto them. And even 7 days before the door was shut in the ark, even when Noah entered in, the door remained open for 7 days, and God was patient with them. He gave them one last week to repent. And what about you? How many ministers, evangelists, preachers of the gospel, friends, family have preached Christ unto you? How many years has God given to you? How many gospel opportunities, gospel missions, gospel tracts, gospel open airs, and yet God has been long-suffering with you. His patience has lingered with you since last Lord's Day. He's given you another week. One more week, the door Christ has been opened for you. And how do you not know that this week that has passed has not been your last week? You think about the old world. Think about them there as they watched Noah stand in the door one more week, and that they procrastinated. They had done it for year after year, 120 years. They exhausted the patience of God, and in a moment of time, the door was closed. They enjoyed the privilege and the blessing of God. And here we are, we're standing around the throne of God, and we're listening to you. And we want to see why God will treat you differently from the old world that perished. Why God should spare you if he spared them not? What makes you special than a world of sinners? God spared them not. We're listening for your case tonight. It's why God should pass you by in judgment. He spared not the old world. But thirdly, God spared not the cities of the plain. He spared not the cities of the plain, and we read of this in verse 6, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemning them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. That little conjunction, that little word at the start of the verse, and, it shows us that God did not spare these cities either. Knowing for their abominable wickedness and the stench that came up before Almighty God, he spared them not, he destroyed them. But what blessings, what privileges did these ungodly cities enjoy from the hand of a gracious God? Yes, with all their sin. Yes, with all their iniquity. Yes, with all their abominable pervertedness. And yet God was gracious to them, and God blessed them, and God gave them privileges. What did they enjoy from the hand of God? Well, they benefited from God's provision. In Genesis 13 and verse 10, we read there, and Lot lifted up his eyes, and he beheld the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, even as the garden of the Lord. Natural and temporal blessings, mercies received from God's hand and common grace, and yet they used them to heap sin upon sin. There was an abundance of food. There was food commodities for everyone. There was plenty. There was prosperity. And yet all was used by the inhabitants of the land to sustain them and to maintain them as they indulged themselves in their sin. They enjoyed the provision of God, and yet he spared them not. But unknown to them, they were also the objects of interceding prayer. What a blessing to have someone praying for you. There was a godly man who was standing before God, Abraham. And yes, he might have had a vested interest in the cities with his nephew Lot being there, but nevertheless, there was a man, and he was standing before Almighty God, and he was interceding, and he was pleading with God to spare the cities of the plain. He was earnest and persistent in his prayer. And so I ask again, what about you? God has given you your daily bread day after day. And what have you used those provisions from God for? Self-advancement, self-promotion, self-indulgence, sin and wickedness? What about the prayers of family members? People that can look you square in the eye and say, "For you I am praying." Ministers and elders and committee men and congregational members, wives or husbands or children standing before God in a place of prayer, asking God to spare you. And yet God spared not the cities of the plain. There you are in that judgment day. And we're all gathered round listening for you. And we're listening to what you'll have to say. Why God should spare you if he spared not the cities of the plain. The fourth thing he did not spare, if you turn to Romans chapter 11, we read in Romans 11 that he spared not the natural branches. Romans 11, verse 21. And there we read, "For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee." You see, these things were written. They were written that you would take instruction from them. And here Paul was writing about national Israel. "For they are not all Israel which are of Israel." You see, all the descendants of Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, were not the Israel of God. They were not the princes of God. They were not in covenant union with him. And yet national Israel, they enjoyed some choice blessings from Almighty God. What did they enjoy from God? Well, they had the precepts of God. Unto the Jews were committed the oracles of God. They had the word of God through the prophets. They had the commandments, the statutes, the testimonies. They had all the types, the shadows of the Messiah through the ceremonial law. And unto them was given Christ. And yet, even as we heard this morning, when he come unto his own received him not. They rejected the Savior. And though God had a remnant, in A.D. 70, God spared them not. He decimated the city of Jerusalem and he scattered the Jews among the nations. What other blessing from God? They were a people who especially had witnessed the power of God. And God in great power and with a mighty hand, he brought them out of slavery in Egypt. Yet again with this, as soon as they come out, there was a generation who murmured and complained and sinned against God, and God did not spare them. He did not mitigate his judgment, but he caused a generation of unbelievers to perish in the wilderness. And again, what about you? You have a copy of God's word in your hand. A faithful and a full translation. And there's people across the world and they haven't a single verse in their mother tongue. And yet God has given you the privilege of his word and you still haven't obeyed his command to repent and believe. And I ask you tonight, why should God spare you? What makes you special? What makes you different? What makes you think it'll work all right in the end for you? God has given us these things to show us that he does and he will deal with sin. He will deal with your sin. He will not spare you. Who has despised all these privileges? Maybe witnessed the mighty redemptive power in a loved one's life, a work colleague, a neighbor, someone. You've seen the change that God has made in their hearts and lives, and yet you're still not saved yourself. Why should God spare you? Think of all these blessings. You've known something of them. God's presence. God's patience. His provision, his power. Men have preached to you and others have prayed for you. And yet you maybe think that God will somehow treat you differently. From the angels that sinned, the old world, the cities of the plain, the natural branches. You think you are the exception to the rule. Dear friend, it's all revealed. It's all revealed to teach us that God always deals with sin. He will not forbear. He will not forbear against you if you die in your sin and you stand before him and you're standing there. And I tell you what, you won't be able to present the case because all the world will become guilty and every mouth will be stopped and you'll be standing there in the presence of a holy God. And but for his power, you'd be consumed by his holiness as you stand before him on judgment day. But there is a way. There is a way and there is a case to present to God in which God can spare sinners. And there is but one way that is revealed in Scripture by which God can forbear and refrain from passing sentence upon us, the guilty. And it's found in the last thing, or should I say, person that he did not spare. We read it before the sermon, Romans 8, the verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If God spared his son, he could not spare you and me. But God did not spare him. The Father sent him, and Christ became a curse for us. And at Calvary, Christ is a sinner's substitute. And as the surety of his people, he became the object of the wrath of a holy God. There he bore our sin on his own body to the tree. And the legal responsibility of sin's penalty and our punishment was placed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And God exercised his strict, unflinching justice upon his well-beloved son as his son suffered on the tree. It was God's own son that he spared not, but he delivered him up. As the executor of divine justice, the Father delivered his son up. And the Father gave his son to satisfy the demands of a broken law. And the Father carried out that infliction of the penalty of our sin upon his own blessed son. Christ was delivered by the determinate knowledge, counsel, and foreknowledge of God. The cross was no plan B. The cross was no mistake. Christ was delivered up to the hands of the wicked. We read in Psalm 22 in verse 12 that many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round about. And what were the bulls of Bashan? They were the best bulls. They were the pedigree bulls. They were the bulls that were winning, as it were, the awards at the Balmoral show. They were the bulls that were the best, the strongest, the mightiest. And here we have prophetically before us that all the bulls of Bashan were compassed about Christ, all the mighty of the day, ecclesiastical bulls and the Pharisees, intellectual bulls and the scribes, political bulls and Pilate and Herod, military bulls and the soldiers, and demonic bulls, because this was their hour. And there they were all encompassed about Christ. And they were accusing Christ and mocking Christ and scorning Christ. And throwing accusation in his face. And his Father delivered him up to that. His Father did not spare him that. But far greater than all this, God not only delivered his son up into the hands of the wicked, but he delivered his son up to the wrath of God. 3 hours of darkness in the middle tree, Christ endured God's wrath for sin. Turn, please, to Job chapter 16. As I come to a close, but in Job 16, we have a picture of the suffering servant. The servant of Jehovah, Jesus Christ. And here we're drawn round to the cross. And the affliction and the anguish and the wrath that Christ was delivered up to. Job 16, verse 11. God hath delivered me to the ungodly and turned me over into the hands of the wicked. I was at ease But he hath broken me asunder. He hath also taken me by my neck and shaken me to pieces and set me up for his mark. His archers compass me round about. He cleaveth my reins asunder, and listen to this, and doth not spare. He poureth out my gall upon the ground. He breaketh me with breach upon breach. He runneth upon me like a giant. And God did not go easy on his son. He did not spare his son. He did not go lenient on him, but the Almighty dealt with his son. Holy justice, and he did not spare him. Sinner, this is the only way that you will be spared from eternal wrath. In Jesus Christ we find mercy. And I will keep reminding you of this. Mercy is non-justice. It is not injustice. Christ took the punishment for sin, and therefore God remains just and is the justifier of them that believe in his Son. And sinner, if you got justice tonight, you'd be in the lake of fire. But in Christ there is mercy. And you need to come to him. You need to forsake your sin. You need to embrace Christ as he's freely offered in the gospel and rest upon his finished work at Calvary, where God dealt with sin, where Christ satisfied the demands of a broken law and shed his precious blood to cleanse away our sin. You need to come to him if you are to be spared. And when you come to him and are found in him, when it comes to that great day, the judgment day of God, you will not be standing alone. For there is one who will take your case. And he will present the marks and the wounds of Calvary. There is one who will be your advocate and plead your cause. And the Father will see that justice has been satisfied. How can you be spared? I asked the question, why should God spare you, sinner? Why should he change his character for you, his divine nature for you? Why should he, if he could, but he can't? He won't spare you if you're out of Christ. He will deal with you with unflinching justice. And you'll suffer for your sins for all eternity. And yet the gospel reveals the way. For he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. May God give you grace to come to Christ, lest we all stand round on judgment day and see you before the throne of God and watch as the angels bind you hand and foot and take you to your just sentence and throw you into the lake of fire. May the Lord have mercy on your soul and show you your nakedness and hopelessness without Christ. And may God bring you to his own dear Son, even this evening hour. Let's bow in prayer before we have a closing hymn. Let's commit our time to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, bless thy word. Lord, pierce the hearts of those who have stony hearts, hard rock hearts. We thank thee for thy word, and even the declaration you give of it, is not my word like a hammer. Lord, take it tonight and break those hard and penitent hearts. Soften necks and bring men and women and young people and boys and girls to the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the day at Calvary that you didn't spare him, but you gave him up for our sake. All for my sake, my peace to make. Now sleeps that sword for me. Hear prayer, glorify Christ. We ask this in his precious name. Amen.